I know that as God's children, we want to get sweeter as we get older, but 300 points is a bit too sweet. Have to keep it down a little. I'm thankful you're here tonight, thankful for the presence of the Lord. He's given us a beautiful day, not just because of the sunshine and pretty weather, but it's a day the Lord made. And because of that, we can rejoice. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading in Psalms chapter 18. If you want to, if you're able to stand, we'll read these first few verses. It's a Psalm of David. It's pretty obvious as you read on. I'm not going to, of course, this is a lengthy psalm, 50 verses, but you pick up very quickly David's circumstances that he's writing about. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Maybe you can relate to these next three verses, because we all have enemies in this spiritual battle. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you are still speaking. We thank you that through holy men of old you spoke and, Lord, had recorded this wonderful, blessed old book that we call the Bible. We thank you that we're able to read it and through your Holy Spirit gain understanding. But Lord, we're thankful that you are still speaking by your Spirit. You know every need of our lives. You know what we go through, the battles we fight. And Lord, day after day, you minister to us where we are at our point of need. And Lord, I know that you want to speak tonight. You want to help us, encourage souls. So I pray that each of our hearts would be open to you. Give us ears to hear, a heart that will be open to say, yes, Lord. Father, I ask for your help and anointing, because I have no ability to convey your word. But Lord, would you speak through these lips of clay tonight? We ask that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you were to take time and read this entire psalm, you would see pretty quickly the things that are upon David's mind. He, as we read here in verse 6, he's in distress. This is probably one of those times he's either in the situation or having recently come through the situation where his enemies were hounding him, and foremost of those were, of course, was King Saul. Before David ascended to the throne, Saul ruthlessly hunted David, and to the point that David was wondering, where can I go? What's the use? He despaired even of life, it says here. And as you read, and I'll just briefly touch on later, these remaining verses in this chapter, you see that in a very marvelous way, God, he not only heard, but he answered prayer, and he moved in behalf of David. He did marvelous things. He helped him. He delivered him. He strengthened him. He taught him and lifted him up, and on we'll touch on some of those, because they're very encouraging. But what I want to, my burden tonight, and what I hope you will see, is in these opening verses, especially the first three, they set the stage for what happens afterwards. You know, God is always wanting to help us, amen? Nobody that knows anything at all about the Bible or about God doubts that. God wants to help his children. God wants to help the lost. God is always ready to deliver. Matter of fact, I didn't read verse 7, but after those first six verses, verse 7 begins with the word then. David's declared what he's going to do here and what God meant to him and how he cried out to God, and then he says then, because it's then that God began to work. Then God began to show himself strong. David is saying in these opening verses, and I'll get into more detail, but he said, I'm going to do this that I am able to do, and then I'm going to turn it over to God and let God do what only he can do. Amen. So keep that thought in mind these next few minutes. Tonight I'd like to use as a subject these words, what we can do. And I thought about just using the personal pronoun I, because that's how I want you to, I know I'm speaking to a group, but I hope that each of us will receive it in a personal way. What can I do? Now, that could be a very broad question or a statement if you ask, what can I do? But I want to talk to you about this tonight, what we can, what we are able to do. I'm going to get on before I close, but when we move to the other side of the equation, what God can do, you all know God can do whatever he chooses, amen? He is God. He is the God of the impossible. The Bible says there's nothing too hard for him. He is a God of infinite power and wisdom. There are no limitations to God. But we are not God, amen? We are finite. We are limited. We are weak creatures. And we learn in many ways in God's word. And if you can recollect a little in these past couple Sunday mornings, there's a lot of things the Bible tells us we can't do. Amen? You say, oh, Brother Chris, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. But until you add Christ, you can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing good, nothing holy, nothing pure, nothing virtuous, nothing good can we do without Christ. We mentioned both of the past couple Sunday mornings that we don't have the power to do what needs to be done for our hearts and lives spiritually. And so maybe somebody's left in one of these services, or maybe you already know the answer, but you may be wondering after hearing that, after reading in God's word, we can't do this, we can't. What can I do? What can we do? Is there anything I can do when it comes to the spiritual struggle, the spiritual battles, this walk that we have through this world that is so filled with sin? Some of you may remember Sunday morning I mentioned I was talking about the condition of the sinner. A sinner is a spiritual prisoner. Amen? The Bible defines that place as the prison house of sin. That means when someone embraces sin and it becomes a part of their life, they are bound in the prison house. They're chained there. And that prisoner does not have the opportunity, the freedom, the power to get free. Amen? Some of you remember that. I won't ask for a show of hands, but some of you remember. He can think, well, you know, I'd like to be free, but the prisoner doesn't have the power. He needs a greater power than his own to get himself out of that. And I said, while some people may have escaped penitentiaries, nobody's ever escaped from the prison house of sin. Nobody. The only ones that got out of the prison house of sin are those who have been delivered by the power of Christ. Amen? Because it takes a greater power, and how thankful we are for that in Christ. We have a great Savior. We have one, as the prophet said, prophet Isaiah said, he's come to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open the doors of the prison house. And if we are children of God tonight, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it is because Jesus Christ opened the prison doors wherever you or I were. Amen? It is because Jesus has that power, and he alone has the power that we needed to deliver us, because we were held by the power of Satan. And there's nothing in this world that could be done to get us out of that situation except through the power of God in Christ. Amen? So we think about those things that we know God can do, and what he's able to do, what he's willing to do. But tonight I'm going to ask you for a little bit, what can we do? Say, Brother Chris, you've told us a lot we can't do. Can't get myself out of the prison. I can't break the chains of sin. I can't deliver myself. I can't defeat the enemy. I can't overcome the world. I can't even overcome the flesh. What is there anything I can do? You know, is there a positive to this? Well, I'm glad, and I just want to share with you what the Lord spoke to me about today. God lets us know what we are able to do. Amen. David is both rejoicing, and yet he's in distress. And that may seem strange. It's one of those paradoxes of the Christian life. How can you be in distress and yet rejoice? Because we have Christ. Amen. It's possible. David feels his weakness. He feels his insufficiency against the enemy. But David realizes there is still something I can do. Amen. And he learns something very important. And I would say, if you don't remember anything else tonight, if you will remember this statement. When we do what we are able to do, it opens the door for God to do what only God can do. Amen. 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 You know, God can move mountains. He doesn't need you and I to. God can do anything. He can part the Red Sea. He can make a way for us to anything. He doesn't need us to, but he wants us to do what we can do. So think about this. Just if your Bibles are open, it's easy to see, because David makes three declarations in the opening three verses about what he said, I'm going to do this. And dear one, they are, to say they're big truths is understating it. He opens up and he says, I will love thee, O Lord. I will. David may be thinking, I can't do a lot of things about Saul and about the army that's hunting me down or whoever it was, but I will love thee, O Lord. Then he goes down in verse 2 and he says, I will trust the Lord. I will put my faith and trust in God. Now, involved in that word are the words belief and faith. I will trust God. I might not be able to do a lot of things, but I will trust God. Amen. So he says, I will love the Lord and I will trust the Lord. And then in verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. Amen. I'm limited in a lot of ways, and I may not be able to escape out of the predicament. You remember Saul had David in some awful predicaments at times. But David said, I will do what I can do. Amen. And when I've done what I can do, I'm going to leave the rest in God's hands. Amen. Now, it wouldn't be hard at all, just looking at scriptures that deal with these three particular points, which I'm not going to do tonight, because these are some of the greatest truths in all of the Bible. I mean, what is the foremost thing of all? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. To love God supremely. That's number one. That's what Jesus said. I will love the Lord. Do you know that you can love the Lord. Amen. Some people, that may be very commonplace to you, but there are many people in religion that their understanding of theology and their understanding of God is not on a personal level. And they think, well, I can believe the Bible. I can believe the things I know about God. But how do you love God, a being we can't see? But God's reminding us tonight, if we will, we can love Him. We can choose to love the Lord. Amen? We can say with John, I love Him because He first loved me. Amen? We can love Him. You know, whenever that time in your life was, if it was, when you fell in love, sometimes I get tickled at that phrase. Because, you know, when you fall, that's usually something you don't do on purpose. But, you know, and I'm using the phrase loosely, fell in love with my wife, I didn't do it on accident. I chose to love her. Amen. Now, for me, it was an easy choice. It took me some persuading to get it to be reciprocated, but no. Love is a choice. It is something that, and I don't want to stay long on this point because I need to move on. You say, Brother Chris, I can't do a lot of things. You can love. You can love the Lord. You can love Him supremely. You can love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. But the question is, will we? We are able to. God created us in such a way that we can love. We love our companions. We love our children. We love most of our family members. We love God's family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. No, we're supposed to love everyone. Love is a choice. And then he says, I will trust in God. I'm going to put my faith in God, to use the New Testament language. We that, you know a little bit about the New Testament, you know, without faith, if I don't have trust in God, I can't please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we remember what Jesus said, this is the work of God to bring you to that point. You can believe. It's a choice. It's something we must decide to do. See, when I was in the prison house of sin, I couldn't just decide to break the chains of sin because there was a greater power than me. But I can choose to put my faith in God. I can choose to love the Lord. And the third one, David said, I will call upon the Lord. All of those could be many, many messages could preach from now until the Lord comes back on those three. But my burden is, and what I want to get across, if we will do what we can do, then God will do what only God can do. What we can never do. And I hope maybe this will provoke someone to read a little further. I'll just touch on some of this. But because David determined in his spirit, I will do what I can. I will love the Lord. I will put my faith and trust in Him. I will call upon Him, seek Him with my heart. Because David determined to do what he could, it opened the door for God to do. You mean open the door, Brother Chris? God's God. He can do what He wants. Oh, yes, He has power. He can crush us beneath His thumb, if figuratively speaking. But that's not how God works. He works in our lives as we open the door and give Him opportunity. Jesus, as you see Him in Revelation chapter 3, I stand at the door and knock. And if any of you has ever noticed, and next time you see that picture, that scene represented in picture, please notice on the door, there's no handle on the outside. Jesus doesn't yank the door open. He waits on you to say, I will, because that's who comes to him. Whosoever will. Whoever will come to him. Now that's very encouraging to see God's response to what we as feeble, finite creatures can do. But he responds because he created us with these capacities. He created us, you know what God wants most? He wants us to believe him and to love him. He wants us to put our faith in him. He wants us to love him with our heart. He wants us to seek him with all of our heart. That's calling upon the Lord. These first few verses after this, verses 7 through 15, David uses what we call figurative language. And those words, as you read them, realize he is describing how it moves the heart of God because his child, his servant, is in trouble. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about God. Well, God's a father. And you know, if my child's in trouble, if your child's in trouble, you know what it does? You may not be able to get there. You may not be able to do anything, but it moves your heart. God's heart is moved. Remember what we read about Jesus? He's our great merciful high priest. His heart is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. God in heaven is moved, and that's what these next few verses are about. But I'm going to jump on down where he gets a little more specific about the things God did for him. And thank God as we listen to these, be reminded that God is just the same today, and he knows that the things we go through, while it may not have to do with a physical adversary, that we have an adversary called the devil. He is after us, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy our faith. He comes against us. He uses people. He uses the world. He uses the weakness of our flesh. But when we cry out to God, we do what we can do. We say, Lord, I'm going to seek you. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to love you with all my heart. It moves the very God in heaven in our behalf. God responds. So David says, and I'm just surface skimming over some of these and to encourage us, but he says down in verse 16, talking about what God did. He sent from above, he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. Now, what do you mean many waters, Brother Chris? Well, some of you know exactly what David is talking about spiritually as you apply it to us. You know there's been times in your life, maybe you're in one right now, where it seemed like these last few days or maybe today that the enemy of your soul has come in like a flood. And sometimes when he does that, let's just face it, church, we're not always on the mountain and strong as we should be. And sometimes it feels like those floods of great water, they're just going to overwhelm us and we've gone down and we wonder if we're going to get up. Amen. But remember, David did what he could. And he said, God, reach down. Hallelujah. He reached down that strong, mighty hand. He lifted me up. He took me out of those waters. Amen. God's been doing that ever since he's had people in this world. He did what we couldn't do. Could you overcome the power of the enemy on your own? No. Could I overcome those? No. But God sent his strength down. God reached down. God lifted us up. Amen. Verse 17, just touching quickly, said he delivered me from my strong enemy. God did what I couldn't do. I couldn't get away from the powers that had a hold of me, but God delivered me from my strong enemy. My, we need that individually in our lives. We need that collectively as the church and the remnant in this generation, because there are enemies, dear ones, strong enemies that Satan is using against the church today. And we need to do what we can. We need to seek God with all our heart. We need to put our faith and trust. We need to be anchored in Him, and we need to love Him with all of our heart. God will move heaven and earth for His child who does what he can. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Verse 19 said, he brought me forth into a large place and delivered me. All of these verses have a deeper meaning than I have time to develop tonight. I'm just going quickly. Verse 29, he said, and here it sounds like David's boasting, but notice the word that he used. He said, by God's strength, I have run through a troop, and by the help of the Lord, I've leaped over a wall. David's not bragging about what he can do as a man. He knows he's weak. He knows he's limited. But he said, God has helped me. God has strengthened me. God has given me what I need to be able to get through this situation. You know, we could say today that this vessel that we're in, we're not able to confront the things that are around us, but God is able to do in us what we need to have victory. Amen. He said, he is a buckler to all that trust him. What's that mean? God defended me. God protected me. God put his angels about me. God rescued me. And then he said in verse 34, he teaches my hands to fight. How much do you know on your own about fighting a spiritual battle? Amen. No, we don't. We're not able. We don't have the wisdom. We have an enemy who will outsmart us every time if we try to fight the devil in our own resources. But David said, I'm seeking the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm loving the Lord. And so you know what God does? He teaches us how to fight. He teaches us how to resist the devil. He teaches how to take up the shield of faith. Amen? He teaches us. Verse 35, and again, I'm going quick. His right hand holds me up. One day when we can see clearly, I mean, on that side of eternity. Right now we just see through a glass darkly, and you know, part of what it limits us, we don't see but very little of what God does for us. We don't see how we were about to slip, but God's hand held us up. We don't see how the enemy was going to take us down, but God held us up. And David is testifying that His right hand holds me up. David couldn't do it himself, but God did it. You and I can't hold ourselves up. We can't keep our feet in the paths of righteousness, but God will for his trusting child. He enlarged my steps so that my feet did not slip. Again, a similar expression. God did this. Our feet on this path of life, dear ones, we would be slipping, we would be going down all the time, but God enlarged our steps. And finally, verse 48, it said, again he says, he delivered me. He allowed me to be raised up above those that were against me. God does all these things, and believe me, we go much more. But do you know tonight that what David experienced, it's what we need today. He said, well, I don't have somebody like King Saul after me. No, you don't have somebody like King Saul. You have someone much worse after you. And if we had the vision to see, if we had the faith to believe what God's word, that there is a devil like a roaring lion that is after us, amen, we would be more conscious of our need, more desperate in our seeking of God even than David was, because we have an adversary called the devil. We can't beat him on our own. Amen. See, joint, put that on your list. You, or just write it like it. I can't defeat the devil on my own. Amen. You can't. But God. We can't, but God can. We can't deliver ourselves, but God can. And God will for those who seek him, who put their trust in him, and who love him. We can't overcome these enemies, but God can. And he will when we seek him, put our trust in him, and love him. We can't keep ourselves from falling. We can't do any of these things, but God can and he will for those who love him, those who trust him, those who seek him first. And we could take this to the New Testament and spend the rest of the night, but I won't do that. Because can you save yourself? No, but God can. And he will. For all those who call upon him and put their faith in him. Amen. Amen? God can. Some of you have learned what I have. I thought, well, you know, when God saved me, now it's up to me to, I've got to buck up and keep this going right. You know what I learned? I can't keep myself. No. I had to learn some hard lessons, just like some of you. We can't keep ourselves, but God can, and he will, when we seek him and call upon him and humble ourselves and we keep our faith and trust in him. We can't forgive our sins. We can't cleanse ourselves of unrighteousness. We can't do all of that, but God can, and he will. All those who are willing to do what we can. All those who would join with David, and I don't mean just trying to buck up, but I'm talking about by God's grace. We can seek him first. We can seek him with all our hearts. By God's grace, we can trust him, put our faith in him, believe who he is, believe what he says to us, believe what he's done for us. And we can love him because he first loved us. When we are willing to do what we can, God will do what only God can do. Amen? And then one last, and I'm closing. Because in verse 49, very near the end of the chapter, after David pauses and he's reflecting back on all that God has done, David may be thinking, I've done just so little and God's done all of this. And David adds one more, I will. I will give thanks to God. Amen. So I don't know how important that is, Brother Chris. Well, part of the response next time may be hinged upon you thanking him for what he's done this time. God's not a big fan of ingratitude, amen? We need to be faithful. I will love him. I will trust him. I will seek him. And I will thank him. Let's do what we can do. All that stuff the enemy tries to throw in your mind, I can't. Don't worry about what I can't do. All that you can do, you determine to do by God's grace, and you leave the rest in God's hands. He will fight those battles that you could never win. Amen. He will rescue, deliver, hold you up, strengthen you, teach you to fight. All that you need, God will do, but let's be willing to do what we can. I'm going to ask our musician to come. We'll sing a verse or two. Stand with us. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for each precious time.